Pleasant, good morning to you. We have several visiting with us today. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll open your Bibles with us as we look to God's Word and understand His will for our lives. For those who are members here, I'm thankful for your presence. I'm always encouraged by you and hope that what I have to say will be of encouragement to you as well. This is a day we have elected to set aside to honor our fathers. It's a commendable point that as a nation we still see fit to honor our parents in this way. The ability to bring the child into the world is not the same as being a mother or father to the child. Even the world recognizes the value of a good father, but God has seen this from the very beginning. So I'd like you to consider with me what Scripture says about honoring our father. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, it simply says, a son honors his father. That's exactly right. The fifth of the Ten Commandments is recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 12 that says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. The word honor in this passage in the Hebrew means to make weighty. In a good sense, it means numerous or rich or honorable. Implied in this definition, in this passage in Exodus 20, is that the words of the Father carry more than the words of others, and we are to obey the words of the Father and the Mother. The instruction then has weight to the point we understand we need to obey. In the New Covenant, we see this instruction again in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3. But here we see it spelled out a little more clearly than in Exodus. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. How is it then that we honor our parents? This text in Ephesians makes honor and obedience synonymous. What was implied in Exodus 20 is stated in this text. Obey your parents in Exodus 20 is stated in Ephesians 6. What was implied has been easily seen then. We learn that through disobedience, we dishonor our father and our mother. We cause them shame. We cause them loss of reputation. We also learn that when we disobey our parents, we disobey God and we displease Him, for He says it is right for us to honor and obey them. I believe it's even natural to desire to honor our parents, to please them. Despite what some children may display in having a mind of their own, most children crave the approval of their parents. And they'll do the things that they think will please their parents. Now, it's true that during our teen years, we all seem to tend to need more reminding. But that doesn't mean that every child desires to dishonor us. We've all made mistakes in our youth, and most will outgrow such rebellious tendencies to come to have a lot of respect for their parents, especially when we become a parent. God is the one who makes the argument in Malachi 1, saying a son honors his father. He recognizes this truth, and he states it as a given, an understood fundamental of human relationships. It's easily seen in our observance of Father's Day and the attitudes that we will likely all express toward our fathers if they're still living. on this day. But turn with me now to Malachi chapter 1 again, because God's going to build on this simple truth by saying in verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name, by saying, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. But now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it in saying that the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. God declares at the beginning of this passage a similarity with his relationship to the people of Israel as the son to the father. I am the father, he says, you are my sons. But they were not honoring him as their father. They presented defiled food, the animals were lame and sick. He says, you offer me what the governor wouldn't even accept. They were uselessly kindling fire on the altar. What they were doing wasn't pleasing him, which was the whole purpose of sacrifice. So rather than honoring him, they were profaning his name, verse 12. So God says, there's going to be a consequence for their lack of honoring him. Read with me just a little further into chapter 2 of Malachi. And now this commandment is for you, O priests, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces and refuse on your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, You have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. I would compare some of these thoughts with the Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3 that says, by those who come near to me, God says, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored. This passage demonstrates the wrath of God in Leviticus 10 toward Nadab and Abihu. They did not honor God because they offered strange fire before the Lord, and God struck them dead immediately. God's attitude had not changed by the time of Malachi, for he told them he would allow them to be taken away in verse 3 of chapter 2, because they were not taking these things to heart. Likewise, I believe we need to take these things to heart. God thinks it's important that we honor him as a father. He's certainly deserving. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, Scripture says, to render honor to whom honor is due. In context, it's referring to men of this world paying taxes to the ruler. But the statement is even more true that we are to honor our Father, the Creator and God of all men. 1 Timothy 1 and 17 says, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the right attitude. So how specifically do we honor God? Look with me at Romans chapter 2 for a moment. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 21. Romans 2 and verse 21 says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? Certainly we dishonor God when we break his law. That's a given in this text. It's simply an understood statement. And that was the point in Leviticus 10 and in Malachi. But now we see it being spelled out in the new covenant, because God has not changed. Anytime we choose to disobey God, we dishonor him. Particularly, it's true of the one who is a child of God. We become the rebellious child that brings dishonor to the parent, whether the sin was intended or not. Therefore, in order to honor God, we must be obedient, giving up our own will to adopt his in our life, molding ourselves, conforming ourselves to the things that he has said, the things that he set for us, for our own good. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. How do we honor God? 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Our body is not ours. It belongs to the Father. We give it up when we submit to him in our obedience to the gospel message. Paul says of himself, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We glorify God through obedience in our body. Anything that we would do with our body that is sinful, that would disobey God, we dishonor Him. Whether it be immorality or speech or looking at sinful things we ought not look at. How do we honor God? Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." Now, that was written under the old covenant, but God has not changed. When we give back to the Lord from what He has blessed us with, we honor Him. It's a gracious acknowledgement that all of these things have come from Him and it all belongs to Him. That we're just stewards of these things. Proverbs 14 and verse 31 says, "He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him." I honor God by being gracious to the needy. That's what it says. Jesus teaches that same principle in Matthew chapter 25. I would remind you by reading verse 44 and 5 of that passage. "They themselves will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then He will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" We honor Him. We honor God by being gracious to the needy. These are just a few of the ways Scripture says that we honor God, because He has not changed, though the covenant has. So where is God's honor when we just honor Him with our lips? Read with me another familiar passage from Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 3. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 3. The Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?" Because they were not washing their hands before they eat bread. So Jesus answers in verse 3, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" So where is God's honor when we honor Him just with our lips, but not with our heart and not with our actions? Many today sing about honoring God, usually done with instruments of music. Yet, obedience is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15 teaches us. Using instruments in worship is not authorized of God. It's a tradition of men that's become very popular in the last 50 to 100 years. God asked the Israelites at the time of Malachi, "If I'm a father, where is my honor?" Where is God's honor when men follow tradition rather than truth? I would read one quote from the Catholic Catechism. It says, "It is clear, therefore, that in supremely wise arrangement of God, sacred tradition, sacred scripture, and the magisterium of the church are so connected and associated that one of them cannot stand without the others. Working together, each in its own way, under the action of the one Holy Spirit, they all contribute effectively to the salvation of souls." Do you hear and understand what that's saying? They say The Holy Scripture cannot stand without the tradition and magisterium of the Catholic Church. The Word of God cannot stand without it. What God says cannot stand without the help of man. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. There is no honor for God when that is your attitude and your belief and your teaching. It has no honor for God. Men put much reliance on tradition, not all to the extent that the Catholic Church does. But how does our tradition honor God when that tradition contradicts Scripture? In the days of Malachi, the tradition was to offer the lame and the sick animals a sacrifice to God. God said that didn't honor him then, it doesn't today. John 4 and 24 says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Music in worship, as an example, is singing, as taught in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Singing is specific. We can't add anything to it. Can't add instruments. That would then make us making music, which is the generic, and not singing, which is the specific. It's clear from God's arrangement that when we rely on tradition, we do not honor God, even though that's what so many people in the world are trying to do today. Honor God through the tradition. Where is God's honor when men show partiality in the instruction? I'm going back in this thought to Malachi 2 and verse 9. That said, I have also made you despised and abused before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. The priests were picking and choosing what to teach from the law of God. Circumcision in the first century was shown to be a partiality from the old law. They were picking and choosing from the law of Moses what they wanted to bring over into the new covenant. Truly, they could not do this because God is the one who made the covenant. The old covenant had been nailed to the cross through the blood of Christ. And man had no authority to create or change the covenant that God has established through his Son. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3 says, every man who receives circumcision in order to enter into the covenant with God, anyone who receives circumcision, he is under obligation to keep the whole law, meaning the law of Moses. Baptism is what causes us to enter into fellowship with God in the new covenant. But if I'm going to bring anything from the old covenant and say that that's what I need to do, I have severed myself from Christ, that passage goes on to say, and I'm choosing to live by this old covenant. I can't pick and choose anything out of God's covenant and bring it over. People do that today. They show partiality in the instruction all the time. Particularly in regards about how people enter into fellowship with God. Let's just consider, focus it down to that point for a moment. Some look at the miracles in Scripture and claim that we must perform miracles to demonstrate that we have been saved. Others point to confessing Jesus before men and declare we have to devote 2 years of our life to witnessing. Still others claim we're saved by faith only. Many other examples could be stated where men have taken some Scripture showing partiality to some teaching rather than following everything that God has said. I've even had some tell me that they're just going to believe John 3:16, and that's all the Scripture they need. Excuse me? How are you honoring God? We can't when we're showing partiality to His Word. Even in the Lord's church, some show partiality with what God has said. They follow some commands and dismiss others, and they contend they're in fellowship with God and they think they honor Him. But the priests in the time of Malachi were showing partiality even in what was being taught. And that displeased God so much, he sent Malachi the prophet to warn the people of the curses he was placing upon them. Why do we think our partiality will honor God? Where is God's honor when men say, everyone who does evil is good? That sounds like another crazy kind of statement, doesn't it? It's in Malachi 2:17. On West 11th Street in Houston, which is near I-10 and 610 West, you'll find the Metro Christian Community Church. It is a church that's part of a larger denomination that was established in the 1960s in California, and they now number in excess of 300 congregations in our nation. There's more than 600 members at the congregation in Houston, as best as I can determine. Primarily, they are known as a homosexual church. Because of their partiality in ignoring God's instruction in regard to sexual sins, they have also ignored his instruction in many other ways, showing partiality. They believe they honor God when they show partiality to his word, picking and choosing what they want to believe out of it. For an example, this quote is found on their website yesterday. We see throughout Scripture that God is more interested in right relationships than right beliefs, and that you can belong before you believe. Let me count the number of scriptures that condemns that statement. We can belong before we believe? No, not at all. These groups and others state that those who are living in sinful homosexual relationships, actively engaged in this sin, that they are right with God and they are in fellowship with God. They say and teach, all who do this evil are good. We can't deny that's what they're saying. The very thing God condemns. The truth is very simple. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says the immoral person will be in the lake that burns with fire. And Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15 says no immoral person will be inside the city of God. They'll be on the outside. God through Isaiah wrote, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Another example of this same principle is that many religious groups today are accepting women as ministers and women who are actively engaged in their worship assemblies. They say this is a good thing, when Scripture plainly says the women are to keep silent in the churches, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 34. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12 also says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but to remain quiet. Partiality toward the Word of God is very much alive today, and it dishonors God. Where is God's honor when men do not observe the Lord's Supper? If you look around, people are going to observe the Lord's Supper with a lot of differing frequencies. Some will do such every week as we do, which agrees with Scripture. Some observe monthly or once every 2 or 3 months. They claim it's better this way because it's more significant when we don't take so often. Yet the example of Acts 20 and verse 7 is on the first day of the week, as our brother mentioned a few moments ago. We do not honor God when we fail to observe the memorial as he desires. By God's authority, Jesus commanded we partake of the bread and fruit of the vine in remembrance of him. But I remind you of another statement of Jesus. In John 5 and 23, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. We can't just ignore what God has said. Now, allow me a moment to try and personalize some of this lesson just a little bit more. Where is God's honor when I do not gather with the saints on the first day of the week? We have some who will attend assemblies 15 or 30 times out of the year on the first day of the week. And that's their pattern and their habit. They're not ill to our knowledge. They're not caring for someone who is ill to our knowledge. They're just not at the assembling of the saints. Other things have become more important. They match the description in Hebrews 10:25. It says, we're not to forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth on the first day of the week. And we show partiality to the command of God when we choose to do something else. Just as surely as we dishonor God when we choose to speak with words that He says we're not supposed to use. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and this man's religion is worthless. If I'm not worshiping with the saints on the Lord's Day, I have deceived my own heart, and my religion is worthless. It's the same principle. Where is God's honor when I do not bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Where is His honor when I do not discipline my children to help them know what God says is right and wrong? How will my child learn to honor God if they don't learn to honor me as a parent? Where is God's honor when I do not give as I have been prospered, which is the command in 1 Corinthians 16:2? I may show God honor in everything else in my life, but my partiality to ignore the command of God dishonors God. I do not honor God when I do not encourage my brethren. I do not honor God when I do not keep myself unspotted from the world, James 1:27. I do not honor God when I do not keep my heart pure. While we can easily make application of this truth in the world, we must make the application in our own life. Otherwise, this lesson has lost its mark. I would conclude the lesson with another reading from Malachi in chapter 3 and in verse 16. Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and esteem His name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. God will spare those who esteem His name. Rather than the word esteem, the King James and the English Revised Version says they thought upon His name. The Christian Standard and the Holman translation of the Christian Standard says they have high regard for His name. The New International Version says they honored His name. That's the same concept in all of those. Are we honoring our Father? Will God spare you and me? We are quick to make application to our earthly fathers, but I would ask this about our heavenly Father. In the way that we live our life, are we honoring Him? In the way that we worship Him, do we honor Him? In the way that we serve Him, do we give Him the honor? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cannot be honoring God. You have not yet acknowledged a need to honor God. Obedience is included in honoring Him. And we must all obey the gospel in order to be forgiven of our sin and to be in fellowship with God. I know you've heard the truth even this morning. If you believe it, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I encourage you to repent of your sin, to confess Him before men and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and into Christ. And if you have not remained faithful to the Father as one who has been baptized into Christ, you have strayed into paths of sin, you need to repent and seek God's forgiveness. Where you're currently at would be the equivalent of where the Israelites were at in the time of Malachi. And I'd encourage you to read that passage again in chapter 1 as if God were speaking to you. God asks of each of us as believers, where is my honor? And if you leave here with nothing else in your mind, I hope you'll leave with that thought. Where is my honor? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, it's before you now. We encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.